Lord, I thank you this morning. I give you the glory and praise. And as we often say, the entrance of your word brings light, gives understanding. And we ask that that light will shine and that understanding will come into our hearts and minds this morning. And quicken our spirits in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, yesterday, if you recall the lesson from yesterday, we were talking about putting our hands on the plow, keeping our eyes on the promise, and being all in. That was yesterday's lesson. Well, towards the end of the lesson, some question was asked, you know, and so forth. And I did pray a prayer over the room yesterday for the finisher anointing to come into our lives. Yeah, so today, this is a companion to yesterday's lesson. You know, I want to talk about, and actually, it'll be more than just talking. I'm going to do something here in a bit, but let's expose this, you know, spirit of procrastination and delay. You know, that's another form of evil that we need to deal with. You know, one that we dealt with yesterday was, look, you know, starting something and not going through with it. Well, today we want to talk about a non-starter at all. You know, just put it off and put it off and put it off. You know, it's one thing to start and not finish, which we dealt with yesterday. It's another thing to put it off and not even start. When we intentionally put off something that should be done now, that's procrastination. You know, and if we give in to that enough, then there comes in these other wicked spirits that called delay. It's snail type of spirit. Snail spirit. It's called delay. You know, then, you know, things just don't happen quickly. And we open the doors for that too in our lives. You know, there are many things in the spirit realm. There are portals. There are what we call portals. It's like gateways. There are gateways to, you know, things that we see happening. Some of it starts in the spirit, you know. There are many kinds of portals. Fear is a portal to many things, you know, and unbelief and different things like that, which were covered many, many times. Today, I want to cover this spirit or attitude of procrastination, which is another portal. You know, it's something that opens the way, you know, for the devil to bring in, you know, other more spirit, I mean, serious spirits, delay, and so on and so forth. And, you know, causing a weakening of the hands and various things. And so we need to approach this in the spirit. There are many scriptures that I will try to share to help us understand, you know, some of these concepts and how do we, what can we do, you know, to overcome? If you find yourself, you know, some people, different people are, you know, wired different ways. And even this so-called wiring, you know, it could precipitate from things, you know. It might start, you know, it might be a little something that started, you know, and then the next thing you know, it's something else. You know, so it may not always be, I mean, you know, nobody is born as this or that. You know, it's just a little something and a little something and a little something. Then it creeps in. You know, here's a good scripture to kick off with. You know, Proverbs chapter 24 and verses 33, you know, and 34. It talks about a little sleep and a little slumber. You know, I mean, it's like, look, just put it off a little bit delay a little bit, and then before you know it, you know, you do that enough times, that actually becomes habitual, even unconsciously. And, you know, that's what we want to deal with today, because it can be a deadly thing that is causing things to not be right in our lives. So let's take a look as we read through some of these scriptures. I want to read from, Proverbs. I will be reading, you know, several verses from Proverbs and some other places. You know, we just look at, you know, all that the Lord has to talk to us about today. Let's read this one. It's a good one to start with. You know, Proverbs chapter 24. Let's read this one and see. And try to, as we read through the scriptures, let's try to think what it's actually saying, you know, to us. You know, so here's what it said. It said, yet a little sleep. This is Proverbs 24 and 33. And a little slumber. A little folding of the arms. You know, instead of putting the arms on the plow to do something, just fold the arms a little bit, you know, and step back from doing what you should do. Take a little sleep, a little slumber, a little delay. Well, the end result of that is not good. You read the next verse. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. So this delay spirit, this procrastination, folding the arms, not doing what you do now, can actually lead to poverty, which means basically lack of advancement. You know, and that's where the delay spirit, once the delay spirit sees that it's got a gateway, it'll come in there and sit like a queen. You know, so you got to have spiritual discernment. You know, a lot of people are dealing with these things, so they found themselves trapped under the weight of this procrastination and delays and so forth. And they may not know it because it doesn't start out exactly like that. But the scripture tells us, you know, what we must do. And we are going to look at it from both sides, the negative side and also the action positive side of what we must do and how we must handle things and do the right thing and so forth. You know, so he said, look, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. You know, I'm going to talk a little bit about what it means to redeem the time, because the days are evil. Now, redeeming the time. Time is something that time is something that very often we don't even realize until it's gone, you know, and it's just something that, you know, gets a hold of everybody. You can't get away from it. But, you know, most often people don't even realize until it's gone. You look back after a month and you say, oh wow, where did the time go? Even in a day, sometimes you can just wonder where the time went. And then you put off something long enough, you find out that a year later, 2 years later, 3 years later, even 10 years later, you may still be talking about it, which is something you could have done 10 years ago. You know, how did it get this bad? And there are people in this room that will resemble this remark. You know, so, but there is help. Praise the Lord. There is help and there is hope. You know, so, but, you know, we need to come with a mentality of redeeming redeeming the time. You know, time is a precious commodity. It's kind of like buy it back. Well, you really can't physically, but spiritually you can. Don't waste any part of it. It's really what this is, this means. You know, use the time wisely. You know, because soon it'll be gone. There are children when they are still growing up, you know, it's like the whole world is ahead of them. And when they get to be in the teenage years, in the early 20s and the 30s, it's like they think they can, you know, sometimes they might think that, well, they've got all the time in the world. But, you know, if you're not careful, you don't have all the time in the world. And nobody actually has all the time in the world. You know, even Jesus, you know, he gave a lesson. He said, look, are there not 12 hours in the day? You know, and he said, look, there are night and day. The day, as far as God's concerned, is 12 hours, not 24, because the other 12 is considered evening, or the evening and the morning, or the first day, and so on. And then Jesus said, look, I must walk while it is yet day. Because the day, sorry, the night is coming when no man can walk, can work rather, you know. So what does that mean, you know, for us to look at the time of day, 12 hours, you know, and if you don't do what you need to do during the 12 hours, then the night is going to come, and during that night time, you might find out that you cannot do anything which you should have done. I mean, let's look at it even naturally speaking. You know, some things, some stores are open during the day and they're closed at night. Not every store is open 24 hours. So if you need to go get something from the store, for instance, if you don't go during the hours that they are open, or even many businesses, they are open during what's called business hours. You know, and then at the end of the so-called business hours, it's a closure for the day until the next day. And sometimes you try to call, you know, some companies, maybe you're trying to get technical help or online support or whatever, and they'll tell you, well, you know, our offices are open from such and such hours to such and such hours. You know, please call back after that time. Now, that's if you get called outside of those hours. You know, so even in natural things, we see that, look, we have this constraints all around us all the time, you know, to do things in the time that we have. Because if you don't, well, then something might pass. You know, and the opportunity may be gone. And then what do you do? Well, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, Jesus said, John chapter 9 and verse 4. You know, because, you know, and then why did he say, let me do a little digression here. You know, we may learn a lot from these lessons. You know, why did Jesus say this? Because there's a story in this John chapter 9, you know, that that Jesus is going to bring out a point, you know, because they saw this man and they said, look, why was this man born blind and so forth? You know, there are times, you know, many years have gone by in the life of this man. You know, and many of the times that Jesus did things in these scriptures, you know, he didn't do them to the liking of the, you know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and so forth. For instance, if he did a great work or a good miracle, you know, or something like that in the, on a Sabbath day, they would say to him, well, you know, it is the Sabbath day. You shouldn't do this thing. But Jesus was always trying to redeem the time. Actually, he wasn't trying. He was always redeeming the time, trying to show us rather how we must also redeem the time. You know, one time he said, made this statement, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. That's not John chapter 9, verse 4. And he said, look, because the night is coming when no man can work. So we see that even Jesus understands this concept. There's a time to do something. And if you don't do it at the right time, you might miss an opportunity. I mean, Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verses 1 to 8 tells us about this concept of times and seasons and when the time is right or the time is not right. There's a time for everything, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to do this, a time to do that, a time to speak, a time to be silent, a time to sow, a time to reap, a time to mend, a time to rend, a time to laugh, a time to mourn. I mean, on and on and on and on. It's a time for everything. So the element of time is behind procrastination and delay. You know, procrastination, like I said, is something that you should do now that you put off to you later or to you whenever. And you intentionally, it's not like you are preempted by other circumstances, but you intentionally, at first it starts by, you know, something a little here, and then eventually becomes a subconscious behavior. You know, and we need some behavior modification. So, yeah, that's why I play that song, Atmosphere Shift. You know, we need an atmosphere shift. We need a renewing of our minds. We need some behavior modification. You know, if you find yourself, you know, subject to this procrastination or even find that things are delayed in your life sometimes, it could be, well, maybe you started out by procrastinating things, and all of a sudden that spirit of delay gets in there, you know. But where then is the remedy? You know, because God has a remedy for everything. You know, the disciples of Jesus, they were beneficiaries of some of his first-hand wisdom that Jesus tried to show the people, you know, like this one that he said, look, I must walk while it is day and so forth. You know, there's another lesson that Jesus said, you know, Jesus wanted to take advantage of the moment in John chapter 5, take advantage of the moment and heal this man that he saw. But it so happened that it was the Sabbath day, right? So, and according to the law of the Pharisees and Sadducees and all of these things, which they claim to be the law of Moses, well, maybe at one time it was, and it, you know, it was like, look, you must not do any of these things or anything at all during the Sabbath day. Now, the Lord gave them, you know, a law for a reason, but there was a spirit behind the law. Now, but they didn't understand it. And Jesus is coming to explain it here. And so in John chapter 5, they said, well, this man should not have been healed. I mean, there are many times they did this in the scriptures. But there's this profound statement, you know, that the Lord will make here. And I want to read this to us so that we can understand how Jesus was functioning. You know, in the book of John chapter 5, I think it was right around maybe verse 17 or so, he made this statement. My Father walketh hitherto, and I walk. What do you think it means? Because, you know, they tried to persecute him because all the things, this thing, this healing and so forth he did was on the Sabbath day. You know, and then it's like, look, you know, it's not lawful for you to carry your bed on the Sabbath day, they told the man. They would even tell people, you know, people that came to be healed in the temple many times, they tell them, look, there are six other days that you can come and be healed, but no, come on the Sabbath day to be healed. You know, postpone your healing to some other day. You know, and Jesus always took advantage of the moment. You know, not postpone what needed or could be done right now. You know, he said, my Father walketh hitherto and I walk. Well, that means God never took a break. That's what Jesus is saying. God is saying, well, it's Sabbath day. You know, and Jesus is saying, no, up till now, my Father is doing the business of doing things. It's always doing something. Hitherto means up until now. You know, so he's still working. And so I also work because, you know, I can only do what he does. Whatever he shows me, I do. You know, so in his mind, there's no delay. You know, there's no all of this. Well, put it off because it's Sabbath day and so on. And so Jesus was, you know, silently teaching some of these concepts, you know, and sometimes laziness can even play into it, you know, and a sluggard. We're going to read some things about sluggard here in a minute. A sluggard is a person that's perpetually lazy and folding their arms and so forth. You know, say, well, you know, there's a lion in the street today. I can't go out. They'll find one kind of reason or the other, you know, to not do what they should do. You know, so let's begin to expose some of these things in the Bible. There are many commandments in the New Testament that, you know, warn us against this kind of slumber and delay and so on. In Romans chapter 13 and verse 11, you know, we are told that, look, you need to awake from slumber. Even this one is even talking of spiritual things. Awake from slumber because your salvation is nearer than when we first believed. In the hour, he said, look, it's high time right now to awake from slumber. Now, we can, you know, it's not only a spiritual understanding, but we can apply it to other things. You know, you must know, you must understand the time. It's high time to awake out of slumber, out of sleep. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Cast off the works of darkness and all these things. Well, it's the same concept. You know, it's time for us to get out of our slumbering and do what we need to do. Praise the Lord. Now, there are many calls, you know, in the scriptures for us to do things when we should do them. And if we don't do them, I mean, James went as bold as saying, you know, sometimes it's just admonitions and so forth, but James was bold here in James chapter 4 and verse 17 to say that, look, if you know to do good and you don't do it, to him it is evil and it is a sin. You know, now it says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now, you know, that's a very broad statement, but you can even narrow it down into certain things. If you know what you should do, some good that you should do, or something that you should do, and you don't do it, it might be borderline sin or even outright sin. You know, so, you know, let's pay attention, you know, before these things creep upon us too badly. You know, some may have, things may have crept in, you know, already. You know, even the psalmist talks about, you know, numbering our days, you know, taking account, redeeming the time. Psalm 90 verse 12 talks about numbering our days so that we can gain, you know, wisdom and so forth. You know, number our days, do all these things. Don't let time just slip by. Colossians chapter 3 verse 23 tells us, look, whatever we are going to do, do it with all your heart. You know, as unto the Lord, you know, and not as unto man. Well, you know, if you do it as unto the Lord, you probably wouldn't put it off, you know, because the zeal of the Lord will be with you. But if you are prone to putting things off, well, go and learn from the ant, we are told. In Proverbs chapter 6, you know, verses 6 to 8, you go to the ant, you sluggard, and learn from his ways. You know, I mean, the ant is a little, they're a little thing, very small. In fact, you just step on them and crush them. You know, they have no governor, no ruler, no this, no that. But, you know, there's a way they conduct their business, you know, and they always redeem the time. And the scripture is saying, well, you know, go to the sluggard, I mean, go to the ant, you sluggard, and learn. You know, they have no guide, no overseer, no ruler, but yet provide a meat in summer, gathereth her food in the harvest. How long will thou sleep, O sluggard? Now, remember, a little sleep, a little folding of the arms, you know, a little delay. When will thou arise out of thy sleep? You know, so this was the verse that led, these were the verses that led to, you know, this, yet a little slumber, yet a little folding of the arms. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth. You know, this scripture is in a couple of different places because it's so important. Did you know that I started off with that scripture today in Proverbs 24? And right here, I'm here reading it again in Proverbs 6. Same thing. A little sleep, a little slumber, you know, because this is important. He's calling it out. And people don't realize that it's a problem or can become a problem. It's just something that we do at times, you know, just put something off and put something off and put some. I mean, things that we need to do when we put them off, before you know it, it becomes a, like a cancerous habit and just eat away at us. And then you find out that you become a, you know, I mean, you just become someone that's always a procrastinator. And that's not good. You know, so let's read a few more scriptures. We've seen two scriptures now that tell you, you know, to, you know, wake out of sleep and don't fold your arms and put things off, you know. It even says here, even goes so far as to say here in verse 4 of Proverbs 6, give not sleep to thy eyelids, nor eyes, nor slumber to thy hand eyelids, and so forth. You know, don't do the sleep thing. Sleep here is a spirit of delay. It's right here. Don't give in to it. Fold your arms. Don't move forward when we should. You know, these are the things, and it's calling it out. Let's call out a few more scriptures, you know, as God begins to tell us these things. First of all, it is important for us to realize that the scriptures speak about these things. That's why I'm reading the scriptures, you know, in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 4. Well, it says something again about the sluggard. I'm coming against the spirit of sluggardness today. I don't even know if that's a verb, you know, but, you know, the delay, the snail spirit, that just delay, and sometimes even borderline laziness. Now, you know, when people put things off that they should do, you know, that's not a good thing. So that's why we're calling these things out. And there's remedy for all of it, but first we got to read the scriptures that call them out. So you know that God is calling these things out in the scriptures. You know, Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 4. The soul of the sluggard desired but hath nothing. You know, why? Because, you know, he just, most of the time, it's wishful thinking. He's not going to put his hand on the plow and really do anything about it. You know, and then he will end up getting nothing. But the soul of the diligent, you know, shall be made fat. You know, whereas the sluggard may be lacking, the diligent will have. You know, and, you know, so these are lessons, you know, from the scriptures that we must learn. And then encouragements will go back and forth between the Old and New Testament. Encouragements in some things that tell us, look, don't be weary, you know, but be diligent. You know, when you are going through stuff, just like we've been saying, you know, keep there. Don't faint. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't pull back. Don't get your hands off the plow. You know, keep pushing forward. You know, there are some admonitions here, even in Hebrews chapter 6. We read from verse 11 how that we are admonished. You know, sometimes it's not easy, but you got to keep on plowing ahead. You know, some people get discouraged they give up at the first sight of discouragement or anything, and they just give up. Now, he's saying, look, we desire that every one of you show diligence to the full assurance of hope to the end, you know, and that you be not slothful. That's another word for sluggard and so forth. Don't be slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. You know, but what did they do? Well, they were always doing. They didn't fold their arms. They didn't lift their hands off the plow. They kept moving forward. And so God is warning us even against being slothful. Be not slothful, even in business. You know, do what you need to do. You know, don't be lazy. Don't be, you know, lackadaisical about it. Don't put it off. You know, do what you need to do. Now, let's read a few more scriptures here to encourage us as we are reading through this. Remember, the topic that we are dealing with is on the subject of procrastination and delay. Delay could be something that we brought upon ourselves, or the devil sees that we open a portal and get in there and come and sit in like a queen. You know, so we got to be really careful. You know, when you are steadfast, though, and you're always doing what you need to do, that's a good thing. The Lord actually, you know, loves it when we are steadfast. You know, there are many parables in the Bible that the Lord gave. And this spirit of folding the arms and doing nothing can be found even in some of them, even though it's a little bit silent, but we can find it there. The parable of the talents in Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30. We can find it there. You know, gave five to one, gave two to another, gave one to another, according to their several ability. You know, and then, you know, one of them were just folded his arms and wouldn't do anything, you know, that he should have done. And then at the end, of course, he lost everything. He got no reward. You know, I call him the slacker, you know, that wouldn't do, you know, what God put in his hand to do. And then where did he end up? He ended up losing it, you know. So lose it if you don't use it, or use it or lose it. And he got some talent. He folded his arms. He found other many reasons to not do what he should have done. Compared himself with another, found some reason, you know, found fault in the giver of the talent. Whatever it was, he was just always, you know, instead of doing the thing, found so many reasons to not do it. We call him burying the talent. So you can see that this subject is very, very broad, you know. And I love this scripture, and I think I read it the other day, maybe yesterday. Ecclesiastes 11 verse 4. Whosoever observes the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. You know, people, you know, they're looking at the wind. Well, it's going to rain today, so I'm not going to do anything. Well, it's going to do this, it's going to do that. Well, if you don't do the first part, then you won't get the reward that should have come from your doing. In other words, if you don't sow, you are not going to reap. And you didn't sow because you looked at conditions. Conditions were not favorable, you know. And so, but instead of stepping out in faith, you say, well, you know, it's going to rain. I'm not going to do anything. There's a lion in the street. I'm not going to do anything. Well, you know, at the end of it, he said, look, the sluggard will have nothing. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 4. You know, the sluggard, I call him sluggard because he wasn't doing what he should be doing. at the right time. You know, so that's why I, you know, chose these verses about being, you know, sluggard, being a sluggard. It's not a good thing at all. You know, let our hands be diligent and not be a sluggard. Instead, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. You know, so he'll say, well, you know, it's cold. I can't do it. It's clouds. It's going to rain. There's a lion in the street or whatever. He'll find whatever reason. And then what will happen to him in harvest when everybody else is having something? He will have nothing. You know, he said, look, therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. These are serious concepts. He started by he being, you know, a sluggard and not doing the right thing at the right time. He said, well, you know, because of the snow, I'm not going to plow. That's he took his hands off the plow, you know, so. We need to put our hands on the plow and keep moving forward. And don't let this spirit of delay, you know, catch up with us. So it's important for you, what you're doing, keep doing it. You know, when you start, finish. We talked about that yesterday. And if you are a non-starter, then start. You know, so Galatians chapter 6 verse 9 also tells us, like, look, let us not be weary in well-doing. You know, fold your arms and so forth. You know, keep on doing. You will reap if you faint not. But the sluggard will faint. The procrastinator will not move forward. And then they may not reap. You know, but we need to reap. There's profit. There is profit for hard work and not putting things up. You know, so while I'm covering the procrastination and delay, I'm also covering laziness and diligence, covering all these things. You know, there is a profit. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 23. There's a profit when we work hard and, you know, we are not delaying and we're not putting things off and so on. You know, there's a profit for it. You know, it says in all labor, there is profit. But the talk of the lips only tended to penury. Penury is the people who count pennies when you should be counting, you know, bigger, larger amounts. You're still dealing penuries, like a state of, you know, state of just being, you know, having nothing, you know, and lack, you know, and very, very sad state. Whereas they could have had more, you know, but they didn't because they spent their time, wasted the time, or were not diligent in what they should do. But on the other hand, there is a blessing for those who are diligent and will not delay. Seest thou a man that is diligent in his business? Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 29. He shall stand before kings. And not before mean men. Diligent in his business, he didn't put anything off. He's diligent. He goes through with it. But if you push things off and put things off and put things off, look, you will not be able to get this kind of blessing. And do you know, Jesus was even teaching about, you know, diligence. Even when you are working, not just for yourself, when you are working even for others, you know, there is a lesson that Jesus was teaching. You know, he taught it in Luke chapter 16. He was teaching about these things and saying, like, look, if you do not know, you know, how to take care, you know, of someone else's business, how are you going to be able to take care of your own? Some people don't realize that this principle is in the Bible. Even when you are working a 9-to-5 or 8-to-5 or whatever job they do, if you are not diligent in that, you are not doing it as unto the Lord, you're doing it as unto men. Even the day that you say, well, I'm going to go start my own business, it may not work. Let's read this thing in Luke chapter 16. You know, chapter 16. Let's read verses 10 from verse 11, 10 and 11 and so on, and 12. He that is faithful in that which is least is also faithful in much. If you're unjust in the little, you'll also be unjust in the much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the little things, the small things that God put in your hands or called unrighteous mammon, who will commit into your hand the true riches? It's Jesus asking these questions. And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give to you that which is your own? Now, some people, you know, like to be wasteful when it's someone else's resources. You know, they don't care as long as it's someone else that's paying for it. Well, you know, this is a concept that Jesus taught against. If you want true riches, be diligent, be faithful in everything, whether it's yours or someone else's. And when it is someone else's to start with, and you are not faithful in that, well, why is the Lord going to give you your own? It's what Jesus is saying here. You know, so if you say, well, I want to be an entrepreneur, I want to go into business, I want to do this and that, well, be diligent in many ways. I mean, there are many things that you need to do for, you know, even to go in business. You got to get knowledge, you got to get training. And some people don't do that. And then the thing falls flat. You don't understand the industry and all of that. But even beyond all of that, you got to be diligent. And you should have been diligent in someone else's business before that. You know, because if you failed at someone else's, well, why the Lord, you are unfaithful in someone else's, why is the Lord going to give you something else to deal with? This principle is right here. And the sluggard is the one that will put their hand to the mouth instead of putting it on the plow, going forward. And they're the ones that will handle things haphazardly, sometimes, you know, half-heartedly. But the scripture says, do it as unto the Lord. So all these things go together, you know. And yesterday we talked about counting the cost. We read in Luke 14, count the cost. You know, if you want to build a tower, you want to go to war, you want to do all these things, you want to start a business, you want to start a plan, you want to start, you know, some people at the new year, at the start of each new year, they have this so-called New Year resolution, which most of the time they never follow through with, you know, because they'll put it up. I'll start it tomorrow. I'll start it tomorrow. You'll start it tomorrow. Well, tomorrow will not come, you know, for the sluggard or the procrastinator, because time will get them. So let's get away from that spirit. You know, what the Lord wants us to do is to be diligent. And here are some more comparisons about laziness, sluggardness versus diligence. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 24. You know, the Lord is in many of these scriptures exhorting us. And all these things that I'm saying is also the how to combat. Instead of being lazy, instead of being slothful, well, be diligent. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule. They will be above only and not beneath. But the slothful shall be under tribute. The slothful will end up being servant or being servitude. Whereas the diligent, you know, and be careful now, because the slothfulness might lead to also, I mean, this procrastination and slothfulness can lead to servitude. It's what he's saying here. You know, the slothful man will not even roast what he caught in hunting. You can read verse 27. He says, you know, he put it off. You know, he went, he did a hunting, but instead of roasting the thing, he put it off. He put it off, you know. I mean, there's so many things about procrastination that's spoken against in the scriptures, you know, in the way of slothfulness and being a sluggard and all these things. You know, it's the same thing that the Lord is calling out. And, you know, it is really good for you, the scripture says in Lamentation, to bear, you know, the yoke in your youth, you know, when you are young. Do the hard work. That's in Lamentation chapter 3 and verse 27. It is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. When you are young, do the hard work. Do due diligence. Don't put off till later, because the evil days will come. You know, you won't be quite as strong. If you need to go to college, you need to get a higher education. You need to do all of these things. You know, do them while you are still young. While your brain is still working very well and when you still have the energy. Because later on in years, you know, because you put it off, become harder and harder and harder. You know, so now some things happen to us, not because of willful delay, but things may happen to us. And there is help when, you know, things just happen to us. But the lesson I'm bringing today is awareness against this willful, which started out willful and now even unconscious. Now, unconscious self now, because we, you know, between the delaying, start something, not finish it, you know, put something off and so on. You know, then again, after a while, it just becomes habitual. You know, that's the one I'm calling out today. How do you overcome those things? Well, you take stock and think about what you're going to do before you start. When you start, stay with it, finish it, don't put it off. Don't start something and put off the rest of it. It's the same thing. You're doing your house chore. You know, it will take you 30 minutes. You do 10 minutes of it and you say, well, I'll come back and do the rest later. Why? You know, you find out that you may never come back and do the rest later. You just pile up. Finish it already. You know, so the delay, the putting off, the starting and not finishing, they all work together. But God wants us to be wise. Paul said, look, I speak as unto wise men, consider what I do. Now, whatever your hands find doing, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. You know, if your hands find doing something, then what are you going to do? Do it well. You know, it's the same thing as Colossians 3:23. You know, don't be sluggish or be a sluggard about it. I mean, do it well with all your heart, all your strength even, and finish it. You know, I remember when I was a young man growing up, my dad used to tell me, anything that's worth doing is worth doing well. He always used to hammer that into my head. You know, and I learned from a young man that, look, if I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it well. You know, when I start it, I'm also going to finish it, and it's going to look good. I don't like doing something, and then the outcome is not good. God himself doesn't like anything that's not good. I mean, he looked at the work of his hands in the beginning, saying that it was good. When he called forth the light out of darkness, it was good. When he did this and this, that, it was good. When he did the man, it was very good. And even the gold that he hid in the ground, that was very good gold in the ground in those days, the scripture says. I mean, everything that God did was good. Beautiful in his time. He doesn't like doing stuff that's not good. And in fact, that's not him. You know, so he said, look, whatever your hand find doing, like Ecclesiastes 9 and 10, do it with all your might. Now, because what happens? When you die, he's saying, you can't do any more of these things. There is no work, no device, no knowledge, no wisdom in the grave. So now it's time to do it. You know, so I may be a bit morbid, but it is what it is. He's calling it out. You know, do it now, you know, and don't wait until later. Put it off. Time's going to catch up with you, but redeem the time. And, you know, we need to pray. To say, look, Lord, I don't know how to redeem the time. Time has gotten away from me. You know, something I should have done 5-10 years ago, I'm still thinking about it. Well, God can help you if you're sincere. You know, he did say, Lord, if you're ready, I'll help you to get there. You know, so it's like these people, you know, God has a way of helping us when we're truly sincere. In Matthew chapter 20, there's a story of the, what we call the late hour workers. Well, in their own case, they were not, you know, lazy, but time got away from them for somehow. Because the master asked him, why are you standing here idle all day long? He said, well, not really. We were looking, but nobody put us to work. So it wasn't that they wanted to be idle. It wasn't that they wanted to just, you know, fold their arms. They just, nobody was hiring. And they were trying. And they stood out there in the marketplace. This is the place where people go to hire. You know, so they were there. They were looking, they were seeing, but nobody put them to work. And the master saw that, you know, they were there. And so he said to them, well, go walk in my vineyard. Now, but the Lord, because these people were, you know, diligent in their hearts, they just didn't find the opportunity. They knew what to do. And when the opportunity opened, they went quickly and they were doing the work. And the Lord actually rewarded them the same as those who had been there all day long. And that's called redeeming the time. There are many ways that God can help you redeem the time. When you put God first, He can also help you redeem the time. This is a concept that I've taught, you know, about redeeming the time. The time that you spend coming to this room in the platform, this and on this platform every morning, maybe 2 hours, maybe 2.5, maybe 3, whatever. The time that you give to the Lord, He can help you redeem that time. I have seen it absolutely. You know, I mean, when I spend time for the Lord, you know, and then I, all of a sudden, inspiration of the Almighty comes and gives me a turbo boost or a quantum leap, mini quantum leap sometimes, to get something done quicker than I should have. You know, maybe all of a sudden something that should have taken you 2 hours, then if you figure it out in 15 minutes, and the Lord just redeemed the time for you because, one, you are diligent in your mind, and two, you honored the Lord with your time, you know, and then the Lord will redeem that time back for you. Now, a few other scriptures, you know, to consider is that the, you know, there are some things that these Proverbs, they say over and over again. You read it in one place and it comes and says it in another place. Well, you know, in multiple places like that, it tells us that it is critical that we pay attention to these things. You know, here is another one, you know, in Proverbs 21 verse 25. The desire of the slothful killeth him because his hands refuse to labor, you know, and he will be coveting things all day long, but he won't get it because when he should have done it, he didn't do it, you know, so that's procrastination and that's delay. Now, the devil takes advantage of that and brings delay. You know, the devil, he knows, you know. Even the scripture says when it's, the evil spirit is gone out of man and that place is empty and it's not filled, you better be filled with the Holy Spirit and good works, because that thing is going to come back and check it out, you know, after it wanders around for a while. And then when he finds a place garnished and clean, he's going to go get some more wicked spirits, you know. So in the case of that one, he left himself wide open. Well, in the case of procrastination or slothfulness, you know, we leave an opening for the spirit of delay to come in, because, you know, you're already prone to doing that yourself anyway. So the devil, you know, found a portal and comes in there, you know, and we find that, you know, things are not just moving. I mean, things that should be moving, you know, at 60, 65 miles per hour, for instance, I'm moving at 15 miles per hour. You know, that's a spirit of delay. That's a spirit of the snow. I mean, I call it the snail spirit. Just crawling, dragging, and so forth. We need to deal with it. And it goes along with procrastination. You know, so we start in little things. We practice doing well in little things. You know, if you, today, if you start something, finish it. You know, and don't put it off. You know, because putting it off can be procrastination. And it can be, it can be a spirit that comes in, you know, and then after a while it becomes a way of life and people just do it even, you know, unconsciously. But remember, procrastination, to be called procrastination, has to be an intentional putting off of something that you know should be done now. So that's how it starts. But eventually, it becomes almost, you know, a part of the person's life. It's just, they don't even realize that they're doing it finally. Because, you know, have opened the way for the devil to come in there. You know, even the Lord said to Judas, what thou doest, do quickly. You know, look, there's always this thing in the scriptures that tell us, put your hands to the thing and do the work. We read it in Zechariah yesterday when the Lord said, the hands of Zerubbabel have started this work. His hands shall also finish it. Now, to the sluggard and the procrastinator, either their hands will not start the thing at all, or if their hands start, they will push it off, and then somebody else has to come in there and clean it up. You know, why should somebody else come and clean up what you've started? You know, why? You know, and when we have the ability to do something, don't put it off till tomorrow. Even in doing good to others, the scripture talks about that as well. Don't put it off. Do it now if you can do it. Why put it off? You know, Proverbs chapter 3 verse 27 even talks about that. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due when it is in the power of your hand to do it now. You know, and James talks about the same thing. Don't say, come and tomorrow I will give you. Give it to the man already today. You know, I mean, so what is the, you know, I mean, right here in verse 28. And that wasn't, it wasn't James. It's right here in verse 28. The Holy Spirit just reminded me. It's right there. Read the next verse. I was thinking of another verse, you know, where he was talking of faith without works. Don't tell the man to go and just pray over him and so on. Instead of giving him, the Holy Spirit said, no, just read the next verse. So let me read the next verse. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again. And tomorrow I will give you when you have it already by you. I mean, that's, you know, don't procrastinate. Don't push it off, even in doing good things, you know, and so on and so forth. So we are exposing that it's a dangerous, it's a slippery slope. Don't go even get started in it. If you get started in it, how can I get out? After a while, it becomes a vice. It's a grip. It's a vicious grip that you can't get out of. That's a vice. You know, how do you break it? Well, there's a breaker anointing. Hallelujah. The breaker anointing will help you, and the Lord will put upon you the finisher anointing that we prayed for yesterday. But I'm going to use the breaker anointing here to help break that spirit of procrastination and delay. You know, but, you know, once you understand that the Lord is giving you the grace to do that, then time no longer. No more delay. No more delay. You know, so even the promises of God in your life, if you are a person that, you know, knows how to be diligent and get things done, God himself will tell you that, well, my word to you will no longer be delayed. You know, that you find that in Ezekiel chapter 12, verses 25 and 28. His promises will no longer be delayed. But if you are the delaying type of person, even if the Lord says it won't be delayed, it will be delayed. Because we're not putting ourselves in the position to receive from the Lord. You know, we're just delaying things, we're pushing things off, and so on and so forth. You know, but at the end of the day, there is an anointing that is coming back for us to quicken our pace. We got to quicken our pace. It's called the quickening spirit. Why did I say at the end of the day? You know, well, because the scripture tells us, you know, in making, comparison between Adam and the Lord, you know, it tells us that, you know, the first Adam was made a living soul in 1 Corinthians 15 and 45, you know, but the second Adam or the last Adam is a quickening spirit. Quickening there also means gives life, but it also can be, you know, the zeal of the Lord will hasten it. And the Lord said also in the book of Revelation chapter 10, as the angel was opening those seals and opening those seals and so forth, finally when he got to opening the seventh seal, he saw something very dramatic. And this is what he saw in Revelation chapter 10. Again, both spiritual and material, it walks the same way. It's what he saw. He said, look, I saw and I heard and I was about to write. And the Lord said, don't write, but seal those things up and so forth. And then he said, well, the angel that I saw is, you know, stand upon the sea and so forth, lifted up his hand to heaven. It's Revelation chapter 10 and verse 5. And swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are therein, and the earth and all the things that are therein, and the sea and so forth, and all the things, that there should be time no longer. That means no more delay. That's what that means. And the element of time, he's going to pull it back. No more delay. So we're getting close to the end of the age. We ourselves need to practice, practice, practice. Practice no more delay. You know, practice no more delay. So take a little thing, a little exercise in practicing that. Start something and finish it. Don't put it off. You know, some people say, well, you know, I'm going to, you know, start a fitness program, but I will start it tomorrow. You know, and then they put it off. I am going to clean up my house. And then they say, well, but I'll do it tomorrow. And they put it off. I am going to do this. I'm going to do the other. You know, whatever it is, you know, just put it off, put it off, put it off. It's a delaying spirit. It's not a good thing. You know, and in our minds, we have to correct that. How do we do it first? The scripture says, you know, you need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There needs to be an atmosphere shift. You know, there needs to be a change, even in us. You know, this is a character flaw if we are like this. Like this slugger, this folding of the arms, this delaying, this procrastinating, this delaying things and so forth. It's a character flaw and we need to fix it. And the Holy Spirit can help us to fix it. You say, well, but I'm so far gone. No. The Lord, you know, is amazing how he can do things. He can take something that looks so far gone and fix it. You know, this man was on the cross, condemned already, dying, bleeding out his last breath and so forth. You know, and in the eyes of everybody, in his own mind too, it was already gone. There's no redemption, he thought. But he cried out. He had enough sense to cry out to the Lord. And the Lord said, yep, today you will be with me in paradise. And that's redemption when it seems that everything is far too late. Jesus can do it. Job chapter 14, verses 7 through 9. There is hope of a tree, even though it be cut down, you know. I mean, it's waxing old, it's rotting and so forth. You say, well, you know, I'm so ingrained and this thing so engrossed in me and so engrossed in this delay, procrastination and so forth. I don't know how I can get out of it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you can get out of it. The Lord's going to help you. We're going to do a breakers anointing here in a minute and he's going to help you get out of it. But once you get out of it, Jesus said, look, go and sin no more. You know, so it's like, look, you've got to do the right thing after that. You know, the Lord will help you, but then you got to do the right thing. You know, so, you know, don't, you know, say the Lord's going to help me and then go back and be doing the same, you know, things over and over again. You know, no. When the Lord says he's going to help you, then you got to do the right thing. One time I said, Lord, help me get out of bed. Lord said, well, I will help you, but you have to get out of bed. Well, you know, I'm like, help me already. And I said, yeah, I'll help you, but, you know, you have to get out of debt. And that didn't make any sense to me because, I mean, I was asking the Lord to help me. And he's telling me, yeah, I will help you, but you have to get out of debt. You know, he didn't say, I will help you, but then you need to stay out of debt. That's not what he said. He said, yeah, I will help you, but you need to get out of debt. And I'm like, I'm asking you to help me get out of debt. Why are you telling me to get out of debt? You know, and that's exactly right. And then I figured it out, you know. And when I figured it out, I took a pair of scissors to all those credit cards. And I cut them up. Because the Lord said, get out of debt. And I'll help you, but you have to get out there. And sometimes that's the problem with us. You know, we'll say, well, Lord, help me. And Lord say, yeah, I'll help you, but you need to do this. And then we'll keep on saying, well, Lord, help me. And Lord say, well, I already told you, you know. And so you got to take action. You know, don't keep doing the same wrong thing and saying the Lord should help you. Lord say, yeah, I'll help you, but you got to fix it. Praise the Lord. You know, that's how God does things. God is not going to swoop down from heaven and do everything for us that you need to do for yourself. He'll give you the grace and he'll show you how to do it, but you have to do it yourself. Hallelujah. Mortify the deeds of the flesh is something we have to do. Holy Spirit is not going to do it for you. He will give you the grace, but he won't do it for you. You will have to do it yourself. The Lord has told you that the storm is coming. You know, the rain is coming to destroy the whole world. Never they ever saw rain before, but you are going to have to build the ark. Your name is Noah. God's not going to build the ark for you, but he'll show you where to find the wood. He will show you where to find the oak trees. He will show you how to get some help. But you are going to build that ark. But he will guide you, you know, and so on and so forth. It's the same thing, you know. The Lord said, well, I'm going to help you pay your taxes, but you're going to have to go down to the lake, catch the fish, open the mouth of the fish, get the coin, and then go and pay the taxes. You're going to have to do all these things. He's not going to just snap his finger and give you the coin. No. You know, he could, but he didn't. You know, he wants you to do something about it. Praise the Lord. Even when the Lord took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes or 2 fishes and or 5 fishes and 2 loaves, whichever one it was, you know, and he break it. I mean, blessed it and break it. He did not give it to the crowd. He gave it to the disciples and walked away. That's how the Lord does things. You know, he will put the blessing on the thing and put it back in your hands to take care of business. So he blessed the food, the little boy's lunch. But instead of he himself, you know, the scripture says the Lord fed 5,000, 7,000. He didn't feed 5,000, 7,000. It was the disciples. The Lord just gave the thing to the disciples. And it was the disciples that actually fed the people. So the Lord will put in your hands the strategy of how you are going to fix this thing. But you are going to fix it. And the Lord will just walk away after he tells you what to do. Praise the Lord. Now, so there's an anointing that we will put upon you today. It's called the Breakers Anointing, that will break the spirit of delay, the spirit of procrastination, that will stop that crawling snail spirit and so on. But then there's something that you must do. You got to roll up your sleeves and do something, you know. And it's partner. You got to be partners with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit will be there to guide you, but you got to do your part. You know, there's certain things he will not do for you. You know, you got to do it yourself. But he will give you the grace and he will show you how. So today, the lesson, and I'm going to leave the rest of the discussion to others, but enough said here. The lesson is for you. How are you going to do it? Well, you do the reverse of whatever it was you were doing before. It's very simple. You know, it's not as simple if it's become chronic, but if you break it down, it's not that hard. You know, if you were in the business of always putting things off, well, you know, make an entry for yourself. Just give yourself set an alarm, do whatever. Remind yourself on whatever you're going to do it. And don't put it off. You know, just do it already. Why do you put it off for? You're supposed to do it today, then do it. Why are you putting it off and putting it off? And then the devil will take advantage of that putting off. And then the life becomes one of delay. And we don't want that. So I'm going to pray against that today. Now, for every time that we've been guilty of procrastinating, it could be simple things that are not even have eternal value, but it adds up. You know, same thing. You're faithful in little, you'll be faithful in much. You are not faithful in little things that you think don't have no value. Well, the same thing, bigger things as well. And eventually even spiritual things. People who are delayed, you know, always late in doing everything. Well, I hope you won't be late to the rapture. You know, don't be late now. Be on time. Praise the Lord. You know, so, you know, these people were late. You know, they were always late in doing things. They did not get ready on time. And when it was time for them to to be ready, they were still scrambling. They called the five foolish virgins, and they were late. By the time they got there, the door was shut and closed. You know, so, you know, that, let's not delay. Let's do things at the right time. Father, in the name of Jesus. Now, I'm going to pray the breaker anointing here this morning. Now, if you need this prayer, praise the Lord. You know, just say, Lord, help me. That's all I want you to say. Lord, help me. Hallelujah. And he will help you. And then he will give you strategy. And some of it I've already said here this morning. But then the Lord will come to you one-on-one as well. So, Lord, help me. Put it in the chat room. Lord, help me. You know, one time, the Lord said, well, if you can only believe, this is Acts, and this is Mark 9:23. If you can only believe, all things are possible in that belief. And the man looked within himself. He knew he was trying to believe, but he was struggling. You know, but he made himself vulnerable to the Lord. He said, look, Lord, I really believe, but I need your help. There are still some areas of my own belief that you need to help me. You know, so there are some of us here that are willing. You know, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You're willing, but you find out that because you have opened the portal, the procrastination spirit has brought in a spirit of delay, but brought in the snail spirit, brought all these things in, and they are sitting pretty now. So today, here's you what you need to do. Lord, I need a breaker anointing to set me free. So help me. You know, Lord, I don't want to be a procrastinator. I don't want to be victim of this delay. Help me. You know, make my hands, you know, give me. The Lord said, look, I'll even make your feet like hinds' feet. I'll make you swift. You know, I'll cause you to ride upon your high places. You know, God's not in the business of all this delay. The Lord said, look, even if you think it's delayed, wait for it, because it will not tarry long. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes that when it's from the Lord, it's not because of that. God is trying to teach you resilience. You know, God is not delaying just to delay. He may be teaching you resilience because you're not ready anyway. You know, but for us in our physical lives, let's practice urgency. You know, let's practice the spirit of diligence. Hallelujah. Put off the delaying spirit. And give him no place. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27. Neither give place to the devil. Ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, today I say to you by the word of the Lord, do not give place to this procrastinating or this delaying spirit. Don't allow this snail spirit into your life in the name of Jesus. Now, let the breakers anointing come in this place today and break that. The Lord said in Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 27, it shall come to pass that I'm going to break this yoke. This procrastinating spirit, this delaying spirit, this snail spirit and so forth. Just delay, crawl, delay instead of moving quickly. The Lord said, I'll break it, but I'll do it because of the anointing. Hallelujah. Now let the anointing that's in this room today break that hold. It's a stronghold. Sometimes become a stronghold in many people's lives. I break that stronghold in Jesus' name. The Bible says, casting down imaginations. The devil has imagined a vain thing against you to completely steal the Lord's blessings from your life through this portal that we have opened up to him. And he comes in there and brings in other things and causes a lot of delay until the things where, to the point where we never get the good things from the Lord that he wants. And so things are always delayed. You know, because we opened that door. Now, close that door. Hallelujah. Close the door, procrastination. Close the door of delay, sir. And the Lord said, time no longer, no more delay. Now, my words, according to Ezekiel 12 and 25 and Ezekiel 12 and 28, my words shall no longer be delayed. Hallelujah. But they shall come upon you quickly. Now, I'm praying for rapid response in our lives, even this year. That's right. You know, things will begin to come together quickly. I mean, things that have been delayed will begin to come together quickly for you in the name of Jesus. But you got to make up your mind, you know, put that away from you. Get thee behind me, thou spirit of procrastination. Get thee behind me, thou spirit of delay. Get away from me, you snail spirit, I'm going to move. The Lord will cause me to ride upon my high places. He will make me to fly and soar like the eagle. I'm not going to crawl. My goodness. Praise God. Father, loosing the bands around the necks of your people. But the Lord said, well, you got to do it. Isaiah 52:2 says, loose yourself from the bands around your neck. The Lord said, well, I will lose it for you. But he said, you got to lose it for yourself too. You know, the Lord, what he does, he breaks the chain. But you got to take those bands off. He breaks it, but it's still around your neck. But then you got to lose it. Get it out of there. Praise the Lord. Get it out of there in Jesus' name. Now, let us put on, you know, the a spirit of diligence and a spirit of urgency. And the Lord is able to fix it. You say, well, you know, these things, yeah. The Lord said there is room for improvement. Though if tree be dying or even dead and rotting in the earth, yet through the scent of water, as it is this day through this message, may be a scent of water for you, according to Job chapter 14, verses 7 to 9. Let it be a scent of water that will revive things, even the things that are ready to die. Jesus says, strengthen those things, even those that are ready to die. Lord, I pray that we will strengthen, that our feet, our hands will be strengthened, that hands are hanged down, the delaying spirit will be broken from the lives of your people in the name of Jesus. And help us, O Lord, together with this breakers anointing and the finisher anointing that we received, to finish what we started and all put things off in the name of Jesus. And the Lord bless you and cause his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you. The Lord, you know, even increase all of his goodness towards you. Cause his goodness to pass before you and give you that quickening spirit. Said if the spirit of Christ, I mean, the spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, he shall also quicken your mortal flesh, quicken you from the delay and procrastination and so forth. You know, the first man, Adam, was a living soul, but the last Adam said, quickening spirit, quicken you in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Now, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid this foundation. His hands also shall finish it. Now, your hands. Now, put your name there. Say, my hands. Yeah, my hands have laid the foundation. My hands started it. My hands will also finish. I will leave my hands on the plow, and I'll keep pushing forward. I will not delay. Glory to God. No more. Thank you, Jesus. Enough already. And when that spirit of delay comes back in you, telling, get thee behind me, Satan. Hallelujah. I got my hands on the plow. I got my eyes on the prize. And I'm all in, and I will not delay. And the Lord, he will answer me speedily, Jesus said. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.